Seats. Those of you who have journeyed with me for the last, just working out, I've been coming here for 45 years now. I know I don't look old enough, but I have. I've been coming here since I was 20 years old. And my passion, my heart, is to see the church living and operating as God intended, as Jesus gave us all authority to actually live a life here on earth that not only sets us free, but actually sets the world free as well. Can you just, Alex, can you just turn me down a little bit? Just turn me down. That might be better. I sound very loud. My vision for church is that we take hold of this and have it in our heart, and every day, everywhere we go, we live what the word says, and that will keep us free. You know, so often in life we end up in bondage because we are not living the life that Jesus came to give us. We've put ourselves back in the prison that Jesus came to set us free from. And I want to see the church of Jesus Christ living in the freedom, in the authority, in the power of all that he's given to us, so that we can make a difference in this world, because this world needs Jesus. It sounds a bit limp when you say it like that, but it does. The only person who can change the way that we think, we act, and that we behave, the only person who can turn us around is Jesus. If we didn't need Jesus, the world wouldn't be in the state that it is, but we do. And as church, we have a responsibility to live our lives in a way that demonstrates who he is. So it's quite a strong message for us this morning. But I just want us to focus on the fact that God has sent us Jesus, and he is the answer. We're going to play a song in a minute from the 70s and 80s. Jesus is the answer for the world today. If you know that song, you've been around a while. If you don't know it, you're quite new. But Jesus is the answer for the world today. I can remember in the 70s and 80s, they used to have stickers that we bought and put on things. And one of them said, Jesus, the real thing. Remember, it used to say, is it Coca-Cola, the real thing? And we have one that says, Jesus, the real thing. But the world needs to see that. It doesn't know it because it hasn't seen it. And so our responsibility is to really take hold of this message that Jesus brings to our heart, this transformational power that works in us, so the world can see that Jesus is the answer. So we're going to play that now. Just the words, no video, but Jesus is the answer for the world today.
If you have some questions in the corners of your mind, traces of discouragement and peace you cannot find, reflections of your past seems to face you every day, but this one thing I know for sure is Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today.
You know, in everything in life, Jesus is the answer. If you're hitting a problem, issues in your life, Jesus is the answer. If the world needs answers, then the answer is Jesus. And we've got to put our faith into that as we live our daily lives. It's amazing how when we talk to people about living life, how much of it we draw from the Word. I know when I'm talking with people, I'll always say, well, this is what it says in the Word of God. This is what it says. It says this. And it's a powerful, powerful book. But we need faith in Jesus to know that He is the answer. And as church, we need to put our faith into action so that personally we experience the Jesus is the answer part of our faith. Now, so often we live life sort of outside of all that God has got for us, not understanding, not living in the freedom of what He's given to us. I just want to read from a book that we use quite regularly. It's called The Steps to Freedom in Christ. And this will just take a few moments to read through. But it kind of sums up where we are with God, how we connect with God, where we've come from, and what God has got planned for us. So it's just a reading, this, and I'm going to go through this now. So it says, God created Adam and Eve in His image and in His likeness. They were both physically and spiritually alive. Being spiritually alive meant that their souls were in union with God, living in a dependent relationship with their Heavenly Father. They were to rule over the birds of the sky, the beasts of the field, and the fish of the sea. They were accepted, secure, and significant. However, acting independently of God, they chose to disobey Him, and their choice to sin separated them from God. They immediately felt fear, anxiousness, depression, and insecurity. Because Eve was deceived by Satan and because Adam sinned, all their descendants were born physically alive, but spiritually dead. Since all have sinned, those who remain separated from God will struggle with personal and spiritual conflicts. Satan became the rebel holder of authority and the God of this world. Jesus referred to him as the ruler of this world, and the Apostle John wrote, the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And we can look around the world and see that it is a powerful force in our world today. Jesus came to undo the works of Satan and take upon Himself the sins of the world. By dying for our sins, Jesus removed the barrier that existed between God and those He created in His image. The resurrection of Christ brought new life to those who put their trust in Him. Every born-again believer's soul is in union with God, and that is the most often communicated in the New Testament with the prepositional phrases in Christ or in Him. The Apostle Paul explained that anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The Apostle John wrote, but as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name. And he also wrote, see how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we will be called the children of God. Such are we. No amount of effort on your part can save you, and neither can any religious activity, no matter how well intentioned. We are saved by faith, that is, by what we choose to believe. All that remains for us to do is to put our trust in the finished work of Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. If you have never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can do so right now. God knows the thoughts and intentions of your heart, so all you have to do is put your trust in God alone. Paul wrote, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Do you believe that God, the Father of Jesus, the Father raised Jesus from the dead? Did you invite Jesus to be your Lord and Savior? Then you're a child of God. And nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. And the testimony is this, that God gave us eternal life, and this life in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have the life. Your Heavenly Father has sent his Holy Spirit to bear witness with your spirit that you were a child of God. You were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. The Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. Since we are all born dead spiritually in our trespasses and sin, we had neither the presence of God in our lives nor the knowledge of his ways. Consequently, we all learned to live independently of God. When we became a new creation in Christ, our minds were not instantly renewed. That is why Paul wrote, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." That is why new Christians sometimes struggle with many of the same old thoughts and habits. Their minds have previously been programmed to live independently of God, and that is the chief characteristic of our flesh. As new creations in Christ, we have the mind of Christ, and the Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth. To experience our freedom in Christ and grow in the grace of God requires repentance, which literally means a change of mind. God will enable that process as we submit to him and resist the devil. Even though Satan is defeated, he still rules the world through a hierarchy of demons who tempt, accuse, and deceive those who fail to put on the armor of God, stand firm in their faith, and take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Our sanctuary is our identity and position in Christ, and we have all the protection we need to live a victorious life. But if we fail to assume our responsibility and give ground to Satan, we will suffer the consequences of our sinful attitudes and actions. The good news is we can repent and reclaim all that we have in Christ. And that is what these steps enable you to do. That really puts us in mind of our position in Christ, that he has made a way for us to live in this freedom, to live in the victory that he died for, to live in the forgiveness of our sin. But our lives are very often shaped by our past. And our past can sometimes take over our thinking and our behavior, and we do things and think things and say things that are not really what God wants. But we just repent, and God will forgive. As believers, we must understand the fullness of the message of the cross. What we have changes our earthly existence and our eternal destiny. It's an awesome thing to have Jesus in our lives. It's transformational. We are new creations, and Jesus sets us free. That's why when we come together on a Sunday morning to worship, there should be a freedom in our worship, because we understand what God has done for us, that he has made a way, that he has forgiven our sin, that he lives in us, and he brings all good things to us. But we've got to live by faith. The world is seeking significance, security, and acceptance. Three are the basic drives that we all have. We all want to be loved. We all want to feel secure in who we are and with those around us, and that our life is significant. And only God can bring and complete those three things in us. Jesus came to complete the task and bring completion to our lives. If Jesus is real, if he is alive today, if he has risen from the dead and overcome the power of sin and death, if he has given the world the gift of salvation, if we as believers are new creations created to do good works, then the world needs to see the evidence of this through the Church of Jesus Christ. We have an awesome responsibility to take this message and demonstrate it wherever we go. The reality of Jesus is contentious to the world. It defies human logic. It cuts across culture and religions. It challenges the position of humanity as it places God above us. We are below God. And to many people, that is an offence. But it is the true position of God that he is higher than we are. It all sounds very impossible from a human perspective that this God can do the things that he is saying. This is why the world struggles with the reality of God. He's just too big to understand. That's why we need the Holy Spirit to reveal truth to our hearts. Isaiah 55 says this. Come all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. This gives us a glimpse into the heart and into the mind of who God is. Come by without any money. It's not our culture. It challenges our culture because God is saying, come and get the real thing. I'll give it to you. It is free. And if you're trying to understand me, then my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. God does not think like we think. He thinks like God. He thinks differently. And as church, we are to display the wonderful works and character of God. We are to be his witnesses in our world. Galatians 6 says this. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. I suppose, I don't know whether you've ever been in a position where you've got weary. I'm finding that I'm becoming weary more often, physically weary, because I'm getting a little bit older. My body isn't what it used to be. And so we have a natural weariness, but we can have an emotional weariness. We can have an energy weariness, a spiritual weariness, if we're not living and sowing to the Spirit. When our natural energy runs out, we become tired and we can lose all hope. Sometimes we can do the same spiritually. We can become weary spiritually. We can lose the vision. We can lose what God has placed in our heart. We can lose the call of God. We can lose the promises of God. We can lose the vision for our lives. We can lose our purpose, and we can do things out of duty, not relationship. We can turn up every Sunday morning because we think we have to, not because we can't wait to get there and worship God. Not because we love God more than we love anything else, and we want to be here, we want to be worshiping. It's a real challenge for us. But we can do things out of duty in our Christian life. For us to keep on going in our own strength is wearing, and we become weary in doing God's work. We've got to keep connected to the vine. We keep coming back to the scripture that we've got to keep connected to the vine. It's the vine that gives us the life that we need to live for God, to live in the freedom of God, to live in the fullness of God. We need to be connected to the vine. We need to be connected to Him by faith. It is the Holy Spirit who empowers us to live the Christian life. Jed was reminding us last week about how powerful the early church is, what a testimony it was to that community, because they were full of the Holy Spirit. And it was the Holy Spirit that just energized them in their Christian living, and they became witnesses wherever they went. It almost couldn't help being witnesses because they were so full of the Holy Spirit. I'm sure we want to reap a harvest. We never want to plant a seed and see it die. Although I have done that on occasion. I'm not a great gardener. I've planted stuff and it's died, and it's not a pleasant thing. But as believers, we're planting into our lives. The Holy Spirit is planting into our lives. He wants us to bear fruit. He wants us to reap a harvest, a personal harvest. So that's the fruit of the Spirit. It's transformation. It's God taking hold of who we were and turning us into something new, of dealing with all the stuff that we bring to Him and turning it around and removing it and setting us free so that we can live this life full of all that God has got for us. So there is a personal harvest to reap, but there's a kingdom harvest as well. We've got to go making disciples wherever we go and be His witnesses. We've got to be part of the organization of the Church of Jesus Christ that changes our world. The only way the world is going to be changed is when we change people. The only person who can change people is Jesus, because He is the answer for the world today. God is always wanting to work in us, to complete us. That means He's always looking to improve us, equip us, train us, disciple us, discipline us, and make necessary adjustments. That's part of the complete work that God is trying to bring to our heart. It's a word that was used for, as the disciples were repairing their nets, completing their nets, it's a repairing process that God is continually doing in our hearts. Hebrews 11:3. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. So we are formed out of God's command. God set us in order. He equipped us. He made ready. He prepared us. That's part of the forming process that the Holy Spirit is doing in our hearts. The gift of salvation, we will recognize as probably the greatest gift that we could ever receive. Sometimes we don't appreciate that. But it is. It takes us from the kingdom of this world and places us in the kingdom of heaven. It gives us a different destiny. It gives us a different life. It gives us a different perspective. It gives us all that we need to be satisfied in life. It's an amazing gift. God wants to complete us as individuals. He wants to repair the accumulated damage that we've sustained in life, healing us physically, emotionally, and spiritually. He wants to work in us. We are new creations. We are being recreated every day. God also wants to equip us for good works, so we are effective in bringing the kingdom of heaven to earth. We become ambassadors of Christ in the ministry of reconciliation. The way that we live our lives, people should be going, what must I do to enter the kingdom of heaven? What have I got to do to receive what you've got? What have I got to do to connect with this God that you're talking about? So everywhere we go, we are ambassadors. And the ministry of reconciliation is reconciling men to God, is introducing those around us to who God is and what He can do in their lives. The work of completion covers the brokenness that Adam and Eve brought into the world, and he restores our security, acceptance, and significance. It's a great work, the work of salvation. In all of this life, all of it, all aspects of it, you know, we've all lived a little bit. We've all know what life can bring to us. But we've got to recognize, we've got to keep reminding ourselves that Jesus is the answer. It is for each of us. As we face life and we put Jesus first, he becomes the answer. He gives us what we need every day. Give us today our daily bread. And it's also, Jesus is the answer for our world, our broken world. Our salvation through Jesus Christ, this amazing gift, is available to meet your need and my need today, right now. Jesus is the answer. We carry this amazing message of hope everywhere we go. And what I want us to do as church is just keep reminding ourselves that we are these message bearers, that we have a responsibility, we have a calling on our lives to go into the world and be his witnesses. I think I asked a question last time I spoke. Does the world need Jesus? If the answer is yes, the question is then, what are you doing about it? What are you doing about it? All God wants us to do is to be those that live a life that demonstrates who God is. Changes the language we use, the thoughts that we have, and the things that we do. And when we face those times when there is pressure on us, people need to see that Jesus is the answer. That even though we don't know what's going to happen, we don't know where the answer's going to come from, but we know that if we put our trust in him, he will bring the answer. We want to introduce people to our God who wants to work in them to complete them. It's just my heart, really. I don't want it to be a heavy message because Jesus is the answer, not me. But I just want as church us to just revisit the call that God has placed on our lives. We were reminded yesterday that the last words of Jesus were, go into all the world and make disciples. They always say that the last words of somebody's life are significant. And Jesus' last words were to us to go into all the world and make disciples. Not on our own, but when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So we can put our trust in the Holy Spirit, that he will work in us, that he will transform us, that he will give us what we need to be his witnesses in this world. But as believers, we've always got to remind ourselves that Jesus is the answer. When we're going through stuff, personal stuff that's hard, Jesus is the answer. We've just got to put our faith in him. Let's just pray together.